Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Here's some wisdom, not from the Word of God, but from the mind of Tim Rader. That's a dangerous place to visit. I know because I live there. You might want to write these down, but I wouldn't waste time writing them in the flyleaf of your Bible because they're not that important. But here's three things. Number one, remember this, those of you that travel, never stay in a motel that has vacancy painted on the wall. All right? You live by that. I've done that. It's not smart. I recall. I've made a note. Number two, never eat sushi from a gas station. Not good. In fact, I wouldn't eat sushi from anywhere. Man, I'm an American, red-blooded American. Man. Number three, never trust a preacher with a perm. You probably know who I'm talking about. All right, those are things you can kind of live by. Now, you say, well, why do you share those this morning? Well, just to kind of get your attention, number one. Number two, there are some principles in the Word of God spelled out in the first Psalm that will make you, that put you in a position where you can know the blessings of God. What I want to share with you this morning, very briefly, and it's not deep, but it's strong, and it's reality. This is a formula you can live in your life. And not everything's 1, 2, 3 and ABC, but it's right here in the first Psalm. And if you'll incorporate these principles into your life, it will help you in a big way. I and the pastoral staff, and I told the young people this Thursday in chapel at the academy, we want you to succeed. I want you to know the full blessing of God. That's my desire. I want you to be happy. I want your children to turn out right. I want you to know the joy of the Lord. I want everything to be right in your home and in your life. And you can't live like me and get that because I fall so far short of the glory of God. But you can look to the first Psalm and you can apply it to your life and you can live it out. Be a Psalm 1 Christian. When I first came to Fundamental Baptist Church in the month of January, in 1981, I got on my knees at the altar and I prayed through this psalm. I'd already figured this out. It had already been taught to me. Man, I knew what it was. I asked God, I wanted to be a Psalm 1 Christian and have a Psalm 1 New Testament church because I wanted to know the blessings of God. If you will live these five things that I'm going to share with you very briefly, if you live them out in your life, you too can know the blessing of God in the year 2020. Your children can be blessed. You can be blessed. Your home can be a place of blessing. You'll know the full blessing of God if you just live these things out in your life. And they're very simple. They really are. And the challenge is that we would be more, of course, like Jesus and be that Psalm 1 Christian. Say, what was Jesus like? He was big, he was bold, and he was blessed. Amen. That's what we want at Fundamental Baptist Church. It's time to take another step forward. I got a lot of irons in the fire. I got a lot of things planned. I know this is a big fall. I understand this is an election year. I got things, but we need to be big, and we need to be bold, and we need to be blessed. And Psalm 1 is how it's going to happen. Say, preacher, that's what I want in my life. It sounds good. I'm telling you, that's what I want in my life. You need to start marking up Psalm 1 as I'm preaching through it and get a hold of it. And God, if he'll arrest your attention this morning, man, great things can be done. Fundamental Baptist Church, our mission is to glorify God. That's it. Our mission is to glorify God. That will happen by unapologetic Bible preaching. That will happen through unceasing, fervent prayer, unashamed worship, and unafraid evangelism. Boy, that's a good sermon outline right there. That's not what I'm preaching this morning, but we have got to take the next step forward. When we add these four pews, We've actually got a couple of, we've got that many chairs set up almost halfway there anyway, this morning, as far as the addition of pews. Man, we ought to be having people seated in the brand new foyer behind the brand new glass wall, watching another monitor back there right away from week one. We have got to take another step forward. In the Old Testament, and Joshua said this, you know what? We're ready to, God is going to do great things in our midst tomorrow. We need to up and sanctify ourselves. That's what we've got to do. Look at what it says here in this first verse of Psalms 1. Blessed is the man. That word blessed in the Hebrew is in the plural form. Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing is the man, is the woman that does these five things. He starts out the Psalms. It's the first song in the hymnal of the Old Testament, great Bible truth written under inspiration. The sweet psalmist of Israel, he sings this, he pens it and he sings it. Blessed is the man, plural. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My cup runneth over. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundant. In other words, blessing after blessing. I want that in my life. Man, I want to know the blessings of God that way. I want to be able to get up every morning saying, God, I know something great's going to happen today. You've been taking good care of me. And he'll do that if we'll just live out these five things in our life. Blessed is the man, it says, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that does not have a secular worldview. Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to the counsel of the culture that it is living in. Amen. There is a great danger in becoming acclimated to the American culture of the year 2020. I read this sometime this summer. It was written in the 1800s by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Listen to what he said. The chief danger that confronts the coming century will be a religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and politics without God, and heaven without hell. Well said. There is a great danger in the world that we're living in America, that we just become acclimated to the world. As a Christian, we are called to be different. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Christianity is to be like Jesus. And again, big, bold, and blessed. And everybody knew who Jesus was when he walked into a village, when he walked into a city. Everybody understood because he was big, he was bold, and he was blessed. Let's not become acclimated to this world. 2 Timothy, turn there real fast. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Verse 1. I'm sorry, it's 1 Timothy. I'm sorry again, it's 2 Timothy. Man, I sound like Amber Bailey saying I'm sorry for everything all the time. Verse 1. This know also, chapter 3, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, and covetous, and boasters, and proud, and blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, and unthankful, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and the power is the gospel. For of such For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And it goes on and it speaks of the fact that in the last days, the last days are dangerous days. So in the year 2020, in this 21st century, right at the end of the church age, how many times have you heard me say that in the last year and a half? Right at the end of the church age, we are called of God not to have a worldview that fits the culture. That's why all the wickedness is going on in our culture today. that we're reaping what has been sown in our education system and in our universities, and now it's all coming back. The chickens are coming home to roost. As a people of God, we have failed God in holding to the truth. All except the man, all except the woman, all except the church that does not accept, does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Number one. Number two, nor sitteth, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That Christian that is willing to be different, that Christian that is willing to stand out and be the ecclesia in the culture. Here, it's easy to stand out today. It is. It takes nothing. That's not the best way to word it. If you stand for God, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. If you have any kind of Bible standards in your life, you are going to stand out in the world, because the world is so dark. The light that we carry will be obvious to everybody around us as a people of God. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. Very elemental this morning, but I think it needs to be said. 2 Corinthians and chapter 6 and verse 14. Don't bow down to the lowest common denominator of our culture. Don't acquiesce. Don't slip back into the shadows and cease to be light and cease to be salt. Salt that has lost its savor, Jesus said, is good for nothing. He's left the church here to lift high Jesus, to be the light in the world of darkness. But if you acclimate, then you cease to have a testimony. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, for I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He said, if you're different than the world, I will bless you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So as a child of God, we're to stick out, we're to be different. Some things go together. Peanut butter and jelly go together. But right and wrong do not go together. One guy likes peanut butter and jelly here. Thank you, Al. Amen. Nothing like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a tall glass cold of milk in the afternoon. That's the way I feel. That's a whole meal. In fact, many times at my house, that is my meal, because I earned it. You know, something happens during the day. Peanut butter and jelly go together. Righteousness and wickedness do not go together. What fellowship hath Christ with Belial, Jesus said? Light and darkness. So in other words, we're called of God to be that ecclesia, a church that is not strong in the community. And people know where they stand and who they stand for is a church that must not be that city that is set on a hill. We're to be that light that everybody can see. The New Testament Christian that is the chameleon Christian and kind of blends in with the surroundings. Can I say it this way? You're a coward. You're a coward. You're afraid. You're ashamed of Jesus. I can think of no other way to express it this morning. And he said here, be big, be bold, and then you'll be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Doesn't take it. It's an easy thing to do, by the way, is be scornful. Be the Monday morning quarterback. Critique. You never do anything yourself, but you critique. You know how everything is going to be done. Criticism is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're not careful, you'll end up becoming cynical. And you'll find fault with everything that anybody else does for God. And you end up sitting in the seat of the scornful. And then you end up being all by yourself. And you don't have a lot of friends. By the way, look around. How many friends do you have? If you don't have a lot of friends other than family, maybe something isn't quite right. And you need to work on it just a little bit. But he said, if you're going to be happy, If you're going to know the blessings of God, then you don't walk in the counsel. You don't think like the world of the ungodly. Nor do you stand in the way of sinners. You don't look or act like the world. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful, always finding fault. If you're not careful, you'll turn into Mr. Grumpy Pants. If you're not careful, you'll be that person with a chip on his shoulder all the time. And everybody walks on eggshells around you. And everybody has to kind of come to your level in order to have any kind of conversation with you. Everybody, you know, you ought to make a difference when you enter the room because you bring Jesus with you. Yeah, the joy of the Lord ought to come with you. It needs to be there. And I'm saying this, and you can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't have time this morning. There is growing demonic activity in the world today. And God uses, or the devil is the one that uses the man or the woman with the scornful spirit. The one with the furrowed brow. The one that carries, that just tries to dump their load on everybody else. The guy that comes into the room and he brings the wet blanket with him and he throws it over top of everybody else. You're not a happy person. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 1, you'll never be a happy person as long as you have that scornful spirit. How about instead of being that way, erring on mercy? How about instead of being that way, knowing the forgiveness of God in your own life and therefore you can impart it to other people? Go to Matthew in chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And turn there. We're going to take time to look at this morning. Matthew in chapter, because this is the kind of people that we desire and we need to have in the ministry if we're going to reach the world for Christ. The kind of people we're going to see the work of God get done. By the way, there's a new initiative. We got together as preachers last week, and I went down to the Owosso area, and there were preachers there from every state that borders on the Great Lakes, all the way from New York, all the way around up to Minnesota, and then Ontario as well. And we're going to try it. We're doing the best effort. Independent Baptists love the Lord. We're not all alike. We're not exactly have the same. We don't all have the same personality. Most of them aren't as good looking as I am, for instance. But we gathered around this great big room and this great big table, and we're going to plant 30 churches by the year 2030. And right now, and you're going to hear some of these men in at the old school gathering, because that's two of them to come up. We're planting two fundamental churches in Dearborn, Michigan this year. Amen. In the heart of Muslim country. And these men are good men, and they said their own words, we're not going there to hide in a corner. We're going to be right up front and hot and getting zealous and winning Muslim people to the Lord. Dearborn, you know, is a great concentration. But I said, man, I want to be part of that. Count me in. And so we need to be big and we need to be bold. And we'll know the blessing of God if we'll live these things out. But there's a demonic activity going on today. And if you do not see it, maybe you're just not aware. Maybe you don't have a lot of discernment. And maybe, of course, you're not around a lot of people, so you don't see it. But I see it. It's a demonic activity and criticism and finding fault and a spirit of unforgiveness. We can't let it creep in here. We can't. Look what Jesus said in Matthew in chapter 18, verse 21. Peter came and said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Peter thought that was that was part of the rabbinical law. Some of the minutiae, the man-made minutiae. And he thought, man, that's being spiritual. Seven times, forgiving the same brother over and over again for several different offenses? That's pretty spiritual. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Seven is the number of completeness. 70 is the number of perfection. Jesus is teaching Peter absolute forgotten forgiveness. Where it is gone. It'd be hard to offend somebody 490 times in one day. But Jesus does that for me. He does that for me all of the time. And if I take the mercy of God, and it's because of the grace of God, and I'm willing to accept his forgiveness, ought not I be able to forgive a brother or sister that has offended me along the way? If I'm an unforgiving Christian, I'm a sterile Christian. That's right. I'm not being used of God. So the fact is, you can't have a scornful heart. Isn't it interesting that way back in David's day, in the very first psalm, he said, man, you got to think right. You got to look and act right. And you can't be scornful because you're only going to get 100 yards down the road and someone is going to offend you. And you'll never know the blessing of God. You'll never have that complete joy. You'll never have that complete satisfaction. You'll never be able to be used of God, because if you're in the battle, someone's going to offend you along the way. You got to search out. You say, well, they got to come to me. No, they don't. No, you have to go to them. That's the Bible way. All right, let's go back again to the first Psalm. Psalm 1. How to win at life, how to be big and bold and be blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Three negative things. You don't think like the world, you don't walk like the world, and you don't sit like the world in the seat of the scornful. Then he ends with two positive things. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates in it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He is getting out of the world and into the Word. Amen. He's getting away from the culture that's a God-denying culture and coming into the light, loving the Word of God. Turn to Psalm 119 very quickly. Stay right here in the Psalms. Psalm 119. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Oh, that's not the one I want. I want verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. If our heart could sing with David. Oh, how I love the Bible. And it's from the heart. And it's worship. Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, God, it's so good. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. David said, I live in it. I live in it. I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm bringing it with me wherever I go. 24/7. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, and for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are the words are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Say, how am I going to know what to do in the world? David tells us, the word of God tells us, through the word of God, through the scripture. You want to be blessed of God? Don't think like the world. By the way, if you watch too much TV, you're starting to think like the world. If you're watching those commercials, you're starting to think like the world. It's affecting you. Say, I don't know that it is. It's affecting you. If you're reading the wrong material, if you're always looking at the wrong stuff, it's affecting you. Blessed, happy is the man that doesn't think like the world, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He doesn't live like the world, doesn't act like the world, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, a very, very merciful, forgiving spirit, cheering on everybody that's trying to do something for God. Being in that person's corner, even if that person isn't following all of the word of God, I'm thankful for anybody to get saved through that ministry. Truly am. If you're going to have the heart, the same heart the Apostle Paul had, that needs to be your heart. Thank God for anybody in any other church, no matter what is over the door, if somehow accidentally they hear the gospel and they get saved there. Glory to God. That isn't condoning everything in that ministry. That's just thanking God for souls being saved and that God's word never returns void. And then you love the law, that you love the book. Your relationship to Jesus today, in the year 2020, right now, in the month of September, is your relation to this book. How much time you spend in this book? Do you love the Word of God? You delight in the Bible. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Talking about being blessed. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Right at the right time. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth. And whatsoever he doeth. Shall prosper. That's what I want. Man, I want to be known as that guy. If you're a lady, you want to be known as that woman. That whatever you do, it's like God's blessing. How do you get God's blessing? By not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Or standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. And by loving the Word of God, delighting and meditating in the Word of God. And then you're going to be fruit bearing. And it's going to be forever fruit. You're going to flourish. It goes on and says, and the contrast, of course, is the ungodly. Let me just read it without comment. Verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Oh, verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Ever feel that way? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You want God's blessing? You want to be big and bold and blessed of God? You want your cup to run over? You want that abundant life? Then you got to follow these five things. You could break it down to four, truthfully. In the first song, don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Love and delight and meditate in the Word of God. This church is growing because the Word of God is preached. Period. That's it, man. That is it. Because the Bible manifests Jesus Christ. That is it. Why do people keep coming back? Why do people travel as far as they do to come to church here? Because they're hungry for the Word of God. You don't know this, and I say this to give glory to God. This is the Kinross miracle. That's what this is. That sounds over the top, I know it. But how many people come from other parts of the country on vacation? They come to a place that isn't even a town. They come to a country church out in the middle of the woods and see a parking lot the size we have. And then that parking lot fills up and the church house fills up. I hear it again and again. I hear it from laymen. I hear it from preachers. Where do these people come from? It's the Kinross miracle. It's being blessed of God. And if we ever take credit ourselves, the blessing's going to stop, right? So you don't think like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't talk like the world. You don't sit in that seat of the scornful. And you love the Word of God. 1981. I was going to say, I knelt right here at this altar all by myself in the auditorium, but it wasn't here. And it wasn't in the old white building. It was back in the Tin Tabernacle. And it was just one step up to the platform and 70 folding chairs. And no windows in the building. And I got down on my knees and I opened up the first psalm and I prayed the Bible. And I asked God for His blessing. And I've failed God from time to time, but I promised God at that time it would be a Psalm 1 ministry. And I ask Him to bless it. And He has. You need to do that for your family. You need to do that for your home. And you need to do that for your ministry. I'm wondering how many this morning you'd say, Pastor, I'll take the challenge. I'm going to apply Psalm 1. I'm going to be a Psalm 1 Christian. Pray for me. We want to live out Psalm 1. We want to flourish like the tree planted by the rivers of water. God, we're not thinking we're deserving. We're not. We know we're not. God, we all know we're weak and we have feet of clay and foibles and baggage, every single one of us. But so did David. And he knew your blessing. Oh God, we want to be a people after your heart. Help us to be Psalm 1 Christians. This morning you can come to Christ. And it might be that everybody here this morning is born again. You might be watching live stream or listening to a radio broadcast and you're not born again. I invite you to Jesus this morning. If you'll just, with your heart, call out to God, He'll save you. Just pray like this. Jesus, I'm that sinner. I deserve hell. Oh God, forgive me. Right now in my heart, I ask you to forgive me and come into my heart and life and be my Savior. I'm trusting you alone for heaven. In Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that, let us know. Somehow, write us, call us, let us know.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.